From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. 1 year ago today, at 9 p.m., bars and restaurants in Illinois were ordered to be closed. Many school children were already kept home that Monday, and the state school closure order was taking effect the next morning formally. All this was done in order to flatten the curve and stop the spread of what we were then calling the novel coronavirus. Well, 1 year later, the novelty has worn off. We've had more than 1,200,000 known cases of the disease here. Probably the actual number of infections is significantly higher since testing was so limited in the early days of the pandemic. Beyond that, the State Department of Public Health reported the deaths of 20,954 mothers and fathers and sons and daughters and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and so many grandmas and grandpas. Do you remember when you first realized this disease was not just going to be a bad flu, that it was going to be a really big deal? For me, it was an interview on the public radio program I heard as a listener on the program On the Media, where the science writer Lori Garrett shared practical advice for living through an outbreak. We asked our listeners for their memories, too, and we'll be sharing some throughout our conversation. Let's start with this voicemail.
Hi, this is Pear in Peoria. I think my first memory of the pandemic was maybe canceling a visit to my brother in Chicago in mid-March. He kind of thought I was bogus for doing that. So I remember thinking, okay, this is the first instance where I'm taking it more seriously than someone else. Fortunately, I've been able to work from home with very little interruption to my work. So I feel very grateful for that and privileged. It's definitely been hard over the last year not having the other kinds of social interactions. As someone who identifies as an extrovert, I like to be around people and I get energy from people. The closest thing for me that helps with that is, I guess, just engaging with what people share in their Facebook stories or Instagram stories or Snapchat stories. And then it's just kind of an easy way to feel like you're kind of, it's almost like you're running into people and talking about what they're doing. That's it for me. Thanks.
Thank you, Pear. It's these moments, big and small, that stick in our memories. Kyle in Champaign sent us a text message saying his wife had gotten him VIP tickets to The Price is Right Live at the State Farm Center there. It was canceled just hours before it was set to start. And listener Justin wrote, I remember most vividly the night it became apparent there would be a statewide stay-home quarantine put in place. I remember running through the grocery store with a cart for food, uncertain how long the quarantine would last, whether food would become scarce. Joining us now to look back on COVID-19 year one is Dr. Ngozi Ezike. She's an internist and pediatrician, and more to the point, she's director of the Illinois Department of Public Health. Dr. Ezike, welcome back to the 21st.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Ezike, I want to go back to last year and your experience. When was the first time you knew that the pandemic was going to be something unlike any other time in your career in medicine or public health?
Yeah, I think when we had our first case, it was like, okay, you know, we had seen the reports overseas, and there had been a case in Washington. There's no way that there wasn't going to be a case in the state of Illinois. So the first case, not so alarmed. The second case was the spouse. The third case had come directly from overseas. You know, fourth and fifth, but I think when it went from the one case here, two case here, to I think it was first or second week of March, where we announced 56 new cases for a single day, that I said, oh boy, we're in for something.
Yeah, you mentioned early March, and I'm glad you did, because I was part of a gaggle of reporters asking you questions after a hearing of the Senate Public Health Committee. I think that was around March 3rd. And my last question to you at the time was about whether the media was maybe overcovering the coronavirus threat. Has the media been causing panic overcovering this, I asked. And you said you didn't think so at the time. But in retrospect, the media, which was echoing public health authorities, it was vastly understating the threat. I mean, we had no idea how much community spread was already taking place. I bring this up to ask you, I wonder, you know, what at the time do you, if you could go back in time and sort of tell yourself something then about what we've been through now, what would that be?
I think it would just be that, and it's not anything that I think anyone did wrong. I think I would wish, if we were doing this again, and I don't wish to do this again, that there was a stronger emphasis on public health. I guess public health has always played this behind the scenes role, you know, quietly doing things, making sure that the, you know, the lakes that people swim in, that the milk that they drink, you know, that all those things get taken care of, but didn't have enough of a presence such that when we were speaking, people took it seriously enough and didn't think that it was some overblown kind of matter. So I think there's some work to be done in terms of establishing public health, what we do, how we do it, so that that credibility can be there, that people can understand our role, can understand the importance of it, and really take to heart the messages that come from us.
I want to share a couple of more texts we got from listeners looking back on this year of the pandemic. Robert in Bloomington said, I haven't lost anyone to the virus, thank God, but am about to lose everything else due to Illinois Department of Employment Security's very, very, very slow response to my unemployment claim. This is hurting many, many people. Something has to change now. It needs to be fixed now. It's the biggest nightmare you will ever live. You are stressed to the limit. End quote. And don't worry, Dr. Izik, I'm not going to ask you to respond for another agency of state government. I just mentioned this to say that this is taking a mental health toll on so many people in Illinois. We also heard from Becky in Champaign, who said, quote, I lost my best friend to suicide this year, which I attribute to the overall virus situation. I can't help but wonder if our actions as a nation had been concise and clear, if her life could have been spared. I have deep anger and sadness thinking about that. I'll remember her by continuing to host healing memorials in her honor to help equip my community and me with tools to process grief, safe places to share emotional pain, and celebrate what was. Dr. Izik, so many people in Illinois have lost so much, and you have been in the center of this storm. Can you talk about how you have experienced the weight of that?
I think as a physician, you know, as a mom, as a human, the goal is to be able to preserve health, life, to help people get to that point where they can achieve their best or optimal health. And so I think, you know, we think in the public health world that we have strategies and measures that can help people achieve that. And so it almost feels like a personal failure when you have deaths that you think could have been avoided if we could have been able to have the message resonate such that people weren't pushing back on it, but instead we're leaning into simple things, you know, such as masking and trying to avoid some of these social gatherings while we were still learning so much about this disease and this virus and how to better control it.
Let me take a moment to reintroduce you, listeners. If you're just tuning in, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We are dedicating our entire program today to looking back on what we're marking as year one of the coronavirus pandemic. It was 1 year ago today in Illinois that the bar and restaurant closure order went into effect. It was 2 weeks at the time. As we know now, it ended up lasting a lot longer than that. Schools were to be closed the next day. We're speaking with Illinois Department of Public Health Director, Dr. Ngozi Ezike. If you want to join our conversation, the number is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Dr. Ezike, can I ask you, we are seeing some states pulling back on public health restrictions. Texas, for example, has ended its mask mandate. It's allowing full capacity at restaurants. Iowa ended its mask mandate more than a month ago. As we look ahead now in this pandemic, what metrics are you recommending to the governor for a full reopening?
No, that's a great question. And I definitely don't want to get ahead of the boss because we're so excited to really unveil and share what our plans are for reopening. And so, you know, we have to look at things a little bit differently now. We know so much more. We know so much more about this virus. We've accumulated so much more science that we know that there are very important metrics that we can look at, and we can look at it in a different way. We have to take into account the fact that we know who is going to be disproportionately impacted by this virus, not just in terms of racial and ethnic backgrounds, but also very clearly age. And so the focus on our seniors being vaccinated, whether they are in long-term care facilities or in the community, has been a focus, because we know that as we vaccinate our precious seniors, that means that fewer people will be hospitalized and much fewer deaths will occur. So we're really going to look very critically at that, at the rate of vaccination in our population generally, as well as our population specifically in our senior population.
And I also want to ask about, you know, I mentioned earlier that the media kind of got a lot of this coverage wrong and maybe underplaying it. That's something that's been a widespread critique, and we were echoing public health authorities at the time. I wonder, are you at all concerned that maybe that, at least until the CDC came out with the sort of vaccinated people can hug their grandchildren guidelines last week, that we've been sort of underselling the benefits of the vaccine to people, that it might be a disincentive for that by saying, you know, you still have to mask, you still have to physically distance, that maybe people are wondering, well, why should I even bother taking this, new vaccine that's out there?
Yes, we have learned so much through this COVID journey. That the messaging, the message, the messenger are as important as the science. And being able to convey not only the science, but also when needed, you know, hope and essentially like incentive to do what's right, showing why we need to do the things that we need to do are just as important. And so being able to clearly, unequivocally demonstrate the benefits of vaccination, not just to oneself or one's family, but to society and the community as a whole, is very important. And so being able to share the clear benefits, and the people are looking at things at so many different levels, like what it means to them personally, what it means potentially for their business, what it might mean for school, what it might mean for work, all of those things are important. And being able to message and communicate on all of those levels and connect it so that it will matter to people is super important. So I'm glad that we've talked about that and shared that, you know, if you're in a social setting, a small private gathering, and everyone is vaccinated, maybe save one person, you know, you would still be safe to have that interaction. Those are important pieces that need to be highlighted up front so people can see that they can see this roadmap that, okay, we're finally going in a direction that I want to go in towards some normalcy.
I'm hearing a lot of public health experts who are saying that they anticipate supply will exceed demand for the vaccine pretty soon, maybe in the next month or so. What is Illinois doing to prepare for that, when suddenly the problem goes from I can't get an appointment to we don't have enough people to take the appointments that we have and vaccines are sitting in refrigerators?
Yeah, no, absolutely. We have been planning this. We accept this. We know that for different groups, there are different uptake rates, if you will. And so when we get into a more open season where the vaccine is readily available and open to everyone, you know, you will have to really, you know, talk very directly to maybe a 20 or 30 something year old who has had many, many friends be diagnosed with COVID, be totally fine, diagnosed with COVID, didn't even know they had a single symptom, just got tested because someone around them had been diagnosed. So those individuals maybe don't know anyone who has passed from the disease and know hundreds, if not thousands, of people who have had the mildest course of illness and will say, what's the big deal? Why do I have to move forward? So it's for those individuals who feel there's no need to move forward, that we have to directly message to, you know, what it means, what are the benefits, why should they do this? What are things maybe outside of themselves that they should be thinking about so that we can move forward as a collective, as a community, as a state, and really finding the right messages and the right messengers to deliver that, those key points will be what makes the difference between maybe having our society vaccinated at a 40, 50% rate versus something much higher that would help us get closer to the end of this pandemic.
Dr. Ngozi Ezike is the director of the Illinois Department of Public Health. She's also an internist and pediatrician. Dr. Ezike, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today on the 21st.
Again, thanks for having me.
Listeners, coming up after a short break, we are going to be talking about long COVID, people who get that initial coronavirus disease diagnosis, and instead of recovering in a couple of weeks, their symptoms or other symptoms persist, sometimes for months, indefinitely so far. That conversation coming up after a short break here on the 21st. Stay with us.